Genealogy by Tim, Season 2, Episode 3. Welcome to Genealogy by Tim, Season 2, Episode 3, recorded on Sunday, March 27th, 2022. I'm recording this episode late in the month due to a heavier-than-normal workload. At my day job as a math teacher, I just wrapped up the third marking period with my students. This episode ought to be a short one, but I did want to put out at least some audio before the month's end. My original intent for this episode was to lay out all of my family's Ukraine ties in one place. As you probably know, a war has been raging over there for the past several weeks, and that has put some of our family's historical records at risk. This analysis of my family's Ukrainian history will have to wait until next month, when I have a nice long spring break with which to get all of that material together. This month, I review what I saw of Roots Tech. I anticipate the imminent release of the 1950 census, and I say goodbye to an influential Genealogy Club colleague. All that coming up this month on Genealogy by Tim. Roots Tech 2022 has come and gone. For those who may not know, Roots Tech has been the nation's premier genealogy conference since its inauguration in 2011. It typically takes place in the epicenter of genealogy research in America, and that, of course, is Salt Lake City, Utah. For the past 2 years, however, due to the international COVID pandemic, Roots Tech has been a free online event. I did not get to immerse myself in Roots Tech this year as much as I had hoped to, and that is due in part to its weekday schedule. The event started on Thursday, March 3rd, and ended on Saturday, March 5th. And with my weekday hours largely consumed by my day job, I really had only Saturday to indulge, but I found quite impressive what I did manage to see in that time, and that included MyHeritage's main stage presentation, Ancestry.com's introduction to the 1950 census, and the Roots Tech Innovators Portal, which introduced several new offerings that genealogists may find useful. MyHeritage.com, as always, is pushing the boundaries of multimedia technology. Last year's Deep Nostalgia photo animator was a viral internet sensation that allowed users to upload a still photo of an ancestor, which was then animated through artificial intelligence to show the ancestor in various poses and facial expressions, as if in a video. MyHeritage took this service to the next level this year, offering its new live story feature, which not only animates photos of your ancestors, but also gives them voices that they may use to narrate your family's story as you build it in the MyHeritage site. Your ancestors will almost literally come to life, which I can tell you has been a personal dream of mine for years. That dream is now a reality at MyHeritage.com. And Ancestry.com has also taken us behind the scenes of its efforts to have artificial intelligence automatically index the handwritten lines of the 1950 census, hopefully making it searchable online faster and with far less human effort than any census that has come before it. Since the 1950 census has not yet been released, this is one of those things that I'll have to believe when I see. It's one of those things that I didn't think would ever be practical, given the handwriting I've seen on some of these census documents, but it's often the case with technology that what was once only science fiction has often become commonplace with the passage of time. I can tell you as a math teacher that there have for years been apps that can solve handwritten math problems with the snap of a photo. Indexing a census seems to be the next logical step in digital handwriting analysis, so we shall see how successful Ancestry.com has been in this endeavor. I'm sure it'll be great. I had the chance to admire innovations presented through the Roots Tech Innovators Portal. The These include the Raconto oral history engine, which transcribes oral history and assembles them easily into shareable collections. It also attaches your oral history to images and online repositories. The Panga online scrapbooker encourages detailed photo tagging that can turn any image into a rabbit hole of discovery. And the Goldie May subway map that creates a visual timeline companion to accompany your family search family tree profiles. I put a link in the show notes to several of these innovations. Have a look for yourself to see how you might use them to enhance your family's story. Lastly, I indulge in my favorite part of the RootsTech online platform, which is, of course, the Relatives at RootsTech feature, which finds all of my distant cousins who are also attending the event, and allows you to contact them and view your relationship to each other. I found two very close cousins on my lists, Lorraine, a second cousin descendant of William Smith, and Paul, a third cousin descendant of Katie Ann Flick. I reached out to both of these Family Search users. Lorraine has yet to respond, but Paul wrote back fairly quickly to identify himself as the very same Paul Anflick, who was already a member of my Anflick family Facebook group. He told me of some amazing things he's found through the site, including his relationships to dukes, earls, several knights, barons, and a few kings of England. Such honors I have yet to discover in my own lineage, but many congratulations go out to Paul on these discoveries, and I look forward to working with him in the future on our shared family tree. And that just about wraps up my RootsTech experience this year. Didn't quite do as much as I had hoped, but what I did manage to view and do was fun and productive, and I am looking forward again to next year. Not sure if next year is going to be online or in person in Salt Lake City. Each version of the event has its perks, its ups and downs. It's great that so many people can participate in the event remotely, but there's also something to be said for traveling, getting somewhere, meeting people face to face. And, you know, I might be in a decent position next year to visit in person. Or, well, I must say I'd have to take a couple of days off of work to do that, which I'm not eager to do, but we'll see. One never knows. There may be a time one day in the future when I will make a trip to an in-person RootsTech event. As mentioned earlier, the 1950 census will be released very soon. Today is March the 27th. The census will be released, I believe, on April 1st. And Ancestry.com is at the forefront of getting this census indexed as quickly as possible using artificial intelligence to read the handwritten documents very quickly. I am looking forward to the release of this census because some of the lines I've been working on lately, namely the Snyder lines, have stumped me. And normally I don't get stumped this way, but at least two of my ancestors in this line, that would be sisters of my great-grandmother Minnie, two of her sisters have proven elusive as to where they eventually ended up, where they lived, died, and were buried. One of them is Pauline Miller, who in the 1930s moved to Denver at first to receive treatment for tuberculosis, but she ended up staying out there and becoming a nurse at the hospital where she was cured. I do not know what happened to her after 1940. So hopefully the 1950 census will shed some light on that. I'm looking forward to seeing whether she got married, and if so, to whom, if her name changed again, and that may help me locate a possible death location, burial location, so I can have some closure on her story. And also, Lillian Beachman, who stayed generally on the East Coast, lived, I believe, in Virginia for a time, but also moved back to the Philadelphia area and also to New Jersey. And I'm not quite sure, you know, where and when certain movements happened. And I still don't know exactly when she died or where she was buried. So hopefully this 1950 census will offer some insight into her story so I can finish that one and let's say put a period on it. But I don't know, that may be a little too final because she does have descendants who carry on her legacy. So yes, looking very much forward to the release of the 1950 census, and we'll hopefully have updates on the Snyder lines that have proven difficult to trace. Lastly, on the podcast this month, I wanted to spend a few moments honoring and remembering William Ivers, a longtime member of the First Friday Genealogy Group that has inspired my research since I first joined all the way back in 2008. Gosh, it's hard to believe we've been at this for so long, but Bill passed away last week on March 22nd at the age of 85. Bill was always, hands down, the most thorough and most organized among us. When it came his turn to share at each of our monthly roundtables, you always knew you were going to get something thoughtful. He often brought examples of his work organized in genealogy binders. Whenever I saw one, I always thought, you know, this is really what I ought to be doing. So they were inspirational to me in that way, and Bill always encouraged us to keep telling stories. He told so many of his life in the Navy, his trips to Norway, and of his Norwegian ancestors. Bill Ivers, a great personal inspiration to me as a genealogist and a prolific contributor to the genealogy group that I've loved for so many years, has died this month at the age of 85, and my condolences and thoughts go out to his family during this time. Next month on the podcast, I'm pretty sure I've said it before, but I mean it this time. I want to do a full expose on my family's Ukrainian origins in light of the war going on there and what's at stake for my family history research. As I said earlier, I will have a spring break next month, a good week to sit down and make a really good, thorough podcast explaining pretty much all of my family's connections to that area. And it should be very informative and, you know, give us greater appreciation for, you know, some of the things going on in the world. That's going to be next month. Next month will be Ukraine month. And I hope to see you there. And until then, you know, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits.